Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
I have a pastor friend named Kyle, and we kind of talk and share ideas and stuff. Actually, this series we're doing is his idea. I kind of stole it from him. So one time he told me about a benevolence request he got at his church. A benevolence request is when somebody in the church asks if the church could help pay a bill. And this particular benevolence request was from a guy named Marcus. Marcus was dying, and he asked my friend's church if they could pay for the headstone and the inscription on it for his grave. That's an unusual benevolence request for a church. And so curious, my friend asked, what's the inscription on the headstone going to say? And he told him it would say, "Forgive me for the days I wasn't grateful." When I heard that, it really made me think, forgive me for the days I wasn't grateful. We don't typically think of ingratitude as a sin requiring forgiveness, right? Like, looking back on my life, I realized that I had done lots of whining and complaining. Like, entire stretches of my life could be labeled, Vince wishes things were different. But was that, I mean, it certainly wasn't the best attitude, but was it sin? And even if it was sin, wasn't it just kind of a small, insignificant one? I mean, but was it really something I needed to ask forgiveness for or repent of? Well, I started thinking about the Bible, and I thought of this verse in the book called 1 Thessalonians. It says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Give thanks in all circumstances. It turns out the word circumstances comes from the same root word as circumference. Remember circumference from math class? It's like the distance around a circle. And so it's kind of like the idea is if you drew a circle around your life, everything that happens in that circle, all the things going on in your life, those are your circumstances. And here God tells us to give thanks in all circumstances, no matter what's going on in your life. Now, I hope you notice it didn't say give thanks for all circumstances. It said in all circumstances. So God's not telling us to be thankful for some of the really bad things that happened, but he is saying that we should be thankful in. Even when we're in those circumstances, we can still be thankful. And that's like a command that God gave us in the Bible. Right? Like God didn't wink when he put that verse in. He didn't go, you know, it's a command, just like you shall have no other gods before me, or you shall not kill, right? God didn't go, hey, this, I'm just joking here, but like, no, he was serious when he said this, and so he commanded it, and if I don't do it, that is sin. It's disobedience, and sin is something that we do need to ask forgiveness of and do need to repent of. I thought about another verse in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. The Bible says, do everything without complaining. It says, do everything without complaining. Now, I want to make a quick disclaimer here. When we talk about complaining, we are not necessarily talking about authentically sharing your heart, your problems, your struggles with God in prayer or with some friends to get support and encouragement. Okay, the Bible actually tells us that we should do that. But we can do that. We can talk about the hard things going on in our lives without complaining. That word, complaining, is translated from the Greek language that the New Testament was originally written in. And it's from the word gagasmos. Gagasmos. I tell you that because how often do you get to say the word gagasmos? It's actually kind of fun. Do you guys want to say gagasmos? Just trust me, you do. You've never had the experience, but you do. So I'll just say 1, 2, 3. You guys say gagasmos. 1, 2, 3. It's kind of fun. And it turns out that the word gagasmos is not so much about what you say as it is about how you say it. So when it says don't complain, it's not so much talking about the words as it is the attitude of your heart. And so we can share our struggle with God or with friends. We're told in the Bible we should do that. But if we're going to do that, we need to do that without being negative or whiny or complaining. God commands us not to complain because he cares about our hearts. And we're able to not complain and to be thankful for all in all things because of grace. Because of grace. We're in a kind of new series called Grace is Greater Than. Grace is when we receive God, we receive God's love, we receive God's blessings, when really we deserve like the opposite. And we have been learning that grace is the biggest game changer, like ever. And grace will totally change your life if you let it. Totally change your life if you let it. Now, some people, a lot of people, honestly, they miss out on grace. And one of the ways we can miss out on grace is complaining. There's a story in the Bible where we see why God commands us to be thankful in all things, and also why he takes complaining so seriously and even considers it a sin. From this story, we see actually that not only does God take complaining seriously, he also takes it very personally. And so we find this story in two different books of the Bible, the books of Exodus and Numbers, towards the beginning of the Bible. It takes place, the story, not long after God led the Israelites. They were this group of people who believed in God, worshiped God, but they had been slaves for a long time in Egypt, just totally oppressed. God leads them out of slavery. And now these former slaves, now freed, no longer in their oppressive bondage in Egypt, they're walking to the promised land that God has promised them, and we find them complaining. We find them complaining. I want to show you the story, and so if you have a Bible, turn to the book of Exodus, if you have one with you today. If you don't have a Bible with you, you have no problem, because we're going to put the verses on the screen. And if you don't own an easy-to-read translation of the Bible, we give them out for free at the Velcro Bar. On your way out today, you can grab one. The Velcro Bar is our connecting place. And speaking of connecting, after the service today, we have happy hour, which we do once a month, and it's right across the hallway in the VIP room, and it's an opportunity for you to learn more about our church and how we can help you take next steps in your life and in your relationship with God and meet some of our staff, and we feed you, so we'd love to have you at happy hour today. So, in Exodus 16, we find these formerly slaves, now freed, we find them complaining. Check it out. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. They were the leaders. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." So they act like they had it so good in Egypt, like it was a never-ending fondue party. They just leave out one little thing, the whole slavery part. They don't mention that. The good old days, you know, they're all, remember the good old days? The good old days when they were slaves. They were not good old days at all. They were oppressed and abused. The good old days were horrible. But they're complaining because they don't have anything to eat. There's no food to eat, and they complain against their leaders. They complain against God, constant complaining. Well, God is gracious to them. Remember, grace is when you get the opposite of what you deserve. And so God miraculously provides this kind of mysterious food for them that they call manna. The word manna means, what is it? Now, to be fair to the Israelites, what is it is not something that you typically say when you find something to look especially appealing, right? Appetizing. Like when you sit down at Thanksgiving dinner, if you look into a bowl and ask everyone, what is it? That's probably not a good thing, right? And if you do, it's probably like some weird jello concoction your grandma made. And the trick is eat it as fast as you can so you don't really taste it. That's what you do. So the people are starving. God does a miracle for them. He miraculously provides this food. And so now what we find is they start complaining again. Complaining again. Check this out in the book of Numbers. The rabble, so kind of like the worst of the bunch, the rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also, the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. Are you serious? They're wishing again for the good old days when they were slaves. They're complaining again about their food situation. Well, finally, God just has it with their complaining. And so he gives Moses a message to share with all of them. Check it out. Numbers chapter 11. He says, tell the people, consecrate yourselves, which is like prepare yourselves, in preparation for tomorrow when you will eat meat. The Lord heard you when you wailed, if we only had meat to eat, we were better off in Egypt. Now the Lord will give you meat to eat, and you will eat it. You will eat it for not just 1 day or 2 days or 5, 10, or 20 days, but for a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils and you loathe it because you have rejected the Lord who is among you and have wailed before him saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? Do you ever have a parent who said to you, you want to cry? I'll give you something to cry about. Anybody have that parent? Yeah, somebody had that parent. This is kind of like God, what he's doing here, right? He kind of has this attitude where he's like, you want meat? Oh, you're going to eat meat. I'm going to feed you meat until it comes out your nose. You're going to get meat. And so what we see is their lack of gratitude is not a wink, wink sin. It's just complaining. It's not a big deal to God. No, it is a big deal to God. God takes it not only seriously, we see that God takes it personally. In fact, hundreds of years later, God was still talking about the offensive, faithless complaining of the Israelites out in the desert. We find it in the book of Psalms, in chapter 95, starting in verse 7. God says, today, if you would only hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massa in the wilderness. And those are where they were complaining in the desert. Where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. In fact, over another 1,000 years later, God was still talking about the faithless, offensive complaining of the Israelites in the desert. We see that in the New Testament. If you want to check it out, it's in a book called Hebrews, chapter 3, verses 7 through 19. Almost the whole chapter, God's like, do you remember when they complained because I led them out of slavery and they didn't like the food? Listen, God takes our complaining very seriously and very personally. Why? Why? Why is it such a big deal to God? Well, let's think about that. Let's kind of explore that. One reason, I think, is because when I complain, I am contagious. When we complain, we are contagious. Complaining kind of spreads from one person, and it can infect an entire community. In Numbers chapter 11, we see that the grumbling started with the rabble. Like there was just a few people who were discontent, but pretty soon everyone was complaining. And we've all seen this, right? It takes one family member. It takes one employee. It takes one or two church members. And pretty soon, because of their complaining, everyone becomes toxic. Complaining is contagious because the person is pointing out to everyone else how things should be better. You walk into a room and announce that it's too cold, and people who were totally fine a minute ago start to say, it is kind of chilly in here, isn't it? At Thanksgiving dinner, you announce, man, the stuffing is kind of dry, and people who are enjoying it are like, well, it is kind of dry. See, what a complainer does is he holds up a dark lens and forces everyone else to look through it. Complaining is contagious. On the flip side, gratitude is also contagious. When we're thankful, what happens is everyone else starts to develop a more positive attitude. So one reason God takes this so seriously is because he knows that our attitude is contagious, and God knows that the impact that our gratitude or our ingratitude can have on an entire community. A second reason it's such a big deal is because when I complain, I create complaints. Complainers create complaints. Have you ever noticed that, like, complainers will always find something to complain about? If you've never noticed that, it probably means you're the complainer who always finds something to complain about. Everyone else is thinking of you, and you're like, I've never noticed that before. That's what happens with the Israelites, right? They're literally making up stuff to be upset about. They act like, you know, we used to sit around all day at this all-you-can-eat buffet in Egypt when life was awesome. But that's not true. That wasn't the case at all. They were slaves. It was horrible back then. Complainers find things to complain about. They create complaints. When my son, I was now like 17, when my son Dawson was 5 years old, there was this one particular night that we were having some people over. We're going to hang out and play games. And Dawson realized that they were coming over right when he was supposed to be going to bed, his bedtime. And he wanted to stay up and watch us hang out and play games because that's so fun. But he thought it would be. So he really wanted to stay up. He went to his mom. He asked, can I stay up late tonight so I can watch you guys play games? And his mom was like, I don't think so. I don't know about that, buddy. So he came to me and he said, can I please stay up and watch you guys play games? And I said, well, probably not, because mom said I don't think so. But I have a plan. Let's sit down with mom and let's see if we can, together, if we can kind of show her why it'd be okay for you to stay up. He was like, okay. I'm like, all right, we're going to do this plan. He said, we're going to do this plan. And so I went into my wife and I said, he really wants to stay up. The only problem with it is that when it's time for him to go to bed, he's going to whine and he's going to create a scene and we're not going to be able to. And so that, like, if he would not whine, it'd be fine. She's like, all right. And so I said, Dawson, come on in. We have a family meeting time. So he comes in, he sits on the couch. We sit across from him. I said, well, Dawson, I talked to mom, and we think we're going to let you stay up late. And his eyes got all big. I said, but there's one condition. He said, what is it? I said, well, we're afraid that you're going to whine. And he said, I will whine, Daddy. So I thought maybe he just didn't get it. I knew he knew the word whine. I said, no, buddy, that would be a problem. The problem is that we think you're going to whine. And he said, I will whine, Daddy. And I said, Dawson. And he said, am I ruining our plan? And I said, yes, you're ruining the plan. And my wife and I were laughing. And I guess in an effort to distract our attention from what he was just saying, I will whine, Daddy. He said, I will never forget it. He said, does anyone else think this couch is annoying? Looking back at it, like, part of me is like, what is wrong with my son? But there's another part of me is like, I kind of admire his honesty. He's like, I will whine, Daddy. He was going to find something to complain about. Here's what I found. People who want to complain will find something to complain about. And when they start complaining, it creates more complaints. Not just in them, but in everybody. And it's not just my opinion. All kinds of research has been done on this. It's really interesting. So, like in this one study, they took a large group of people, divided them into two, and one group they gave an assignment to keep an irritation journal. They were to write down, to start writing down anything that they didn't like about their life, about their situation, just write it all down. The other group was assigned to keep a Thanksgiving journal. Just always, anytime, so, oh, that's a good thing in my life, just write it all down. And they did it for a while. What they found, the researchers, is that those who kept the Thanksgiving journals had greater overall energy and enthusiasm, slept better, and were less depressed. They also discovered that each group, what they were assigned to do intentionally, they started to do unintentionally. People who had to list irritations, if they noticed them, started looking for irritations to write down. And people who were supposed to write good things down, if they noticed them, started looking for blessings to write down. So, with it being Thanksgiving week this week, I thought, why don't we do that assignment? Yeah, I'm not going to ask anybody to do the irritation journal. We'll skip that part. But what if this week we all kept a Thanksgiving journal? I'm like totally serious. Like, let's do it. And I want you to monitor looking for good things and writing them down. What does that do to my perspective? How does that improve my attitude? I realized when I thought of this that you probably would be like, well, that sounds like a good idea, but it's inconvenient. I don't have a journal. I don't, so here's what I'm going to do. I got a 3x5 card. I fold it in half. Fits my pocket very nicely. I put stacks of 3x5 cards at the Velcro bar, so you have a 3x5 card on your way out. And so just this week, whenever you notice something good, whenever something good comes to mind, just write it down, whatever it is. You know, like, I'm going to heaven. Captain Crunch tastes good. God is always with me. I haven't killed my spouse yet. Right? These jeans still fit. Whatever it is, I have people who care about me. I have a church that I can invite my friends who don't go to church to, and they feel comfortable here. Just write them all down and watch what it does to your attitude. Okay? Grab a card on your way out and let me know. Let me know how it goes. God loves us, and he commands us to be thankful. And he takes our complaining very seriously because he knows the impact that it has on our hearts. A third reason God thinks it's a big deal, I think, is because when I complain, I lose sight of what I have. When I complain, when I'm focused on the negatives, I lose sight of what I have. And I become increasingly fixated on what I don't have. Like the Israelites, I mean, think about it. They were slaves. They were abused. And somehow they were able to ignore the fact that for the first time in generations, they were free from slavery. And they ignored it because they weren't happy with the lack of options on the dinner menu. Wow. When we find something to complain about, we lose perspective. This is why if you ever talk to someone who comes back from a trip to a third world country, almost every time you're going to hear them talk about, it just changed my perspective. You know, all of a sudden I realized that I should be grateful for all the things I have that I take for granted. Right? They've been given this gift of perspective. If you're on social media, you've probably seen that the hashtag FWP, which stands for First World Problems. And so First World Problems is kind of a way of making fun of people for complaining about something that really should be considered a blessing. I found a few actual, these are things that people put online for real on the internet. So like somebody wrote, so frustrating to get home from the grocery store and not be able to fit the food in the fridge. Oh man, your life is awful. This person wrote, this movie is taking so long to download. You can download movies. That's pretty awesome. Somebody wrote, I'm so sick of eating at all the restaurants near work. Oh, you have restaurants to eat at? This last one, the person wrote, ugh, I hate it when my Apple Watch doesn't register the right distance when I run on the beach. It's clearly going to be one of those days. Oh, man, it's awful. It turns out gratitude doesn't happen because we have good circumstances. That's not how we work. Gratitude happens when we choose to be thankful in all of our circumstances. Is this the way it works? And complaining, when we complain, it leads us to become focused on what we don't have. Here's the truth about you, whether you've realized it or not. Here's the truth about me. The truth is that you will never, never be content with what you have, no matter what you have, until you choose to be content with what you have, no matter what you have. And that's not just me talking. Again, all kinds of research. A study in Newsweek, they asked thousands of people, how much money, what salary would you need to be content? At what salary would you be thankful and grateful and not wish for more, okay? Well, first of all, why don't you answer that question in your mind? What salary would be the amount you'd be like, that's a good amount, that's enough? So they ask a lot of people. People who made about $25,000 on average, all these people, thought a salary of $54,000 would be what it would take for them to finally be happy. Okay? So people who made $100,000, double what the $25,000 people thought it would take to be happy, were they happy with their $100,000 salary? Not at all. On average, people who made $100,000 said that they would be content if they made $192,000 a year. You're never going to be happy with what you have until you just choose to be happy with what you have. God wants me to be thankful, but when I complain, I lose sight of what I have and what God's doing in my life. When I was in college, I got a job at a movie theater. It's because I needed some money, and it was an awesome job. So, like, my job was, some days they would have me, I was the guy who took your ticket and went, theater 4, theater 6, theater 4. And other days, I would go in after the movie and just sweep theaters. It was really easy work, and you get to see every single movie that comes out for free. Just anytime you want to go to the movies, yep, it's free. Awesome job. Well, after, like, a year or two of it, I just got like tired of my bosses. They were not good leaders. And so I just got frustrated and I decided I'm over it. Like, this job stinks. And so I started applying for any job I could see like they were hiring, submitted my resumes. And for some reason, like, nobody called me back. Nobody gave me an interview. Nobody hired me. And man, I started complaining. I was like, this is stupid. I've got the worst job. This stupid job, movie theater stinks. And I was a new Christian at the time. And so I was like, God, man, I prayed and prayed for a new job, and you won't give me one. Thanks a lot, God. How hard is that prayer to answer, God? I just totally started complaining, but I couldn't get a new job, so I kept working in that movie theater and kept complaining and complaining and complaining. And as I continued to work there and did easy work and got free movies, I led a guy who worked with me who did not believe in God to faith in Jesus. He actually ended up going to Bible college. And then I led this girl who worked with me and did not believe in God to faith in Jesus. And about 4 years later, I married her. And it's like, looking back, it's like, if I had gotten a different job, if God had answered my prayer, like, what would have happened to that guy? What would have happened to that girl? I never would have met my wife. God had an incredible plan for my life, and I was ungrateful every step of the way. Like, I grumbled all the way to the promised land. My complaining led me to lose sight of what God had given me and what God was doing in my life. Complaining always does that. It always does that. I wonder if you could look back at your life, are there some things that you complained about that maybe now you realize were actually blessings? Maybe you complained that you were still single, but you now realize that that time led you to grow in your relationship with God and to get a supportive group of friends that you never would have had if you weren't single. Or perhaps you didn't get into your first choice of colleges, but you now realize that where you went was exactly where you needed to be. Or it could be that you always complained because you had strict parents growing up and they wouldn't let you go out with your friends, but now you look and you see where that led all of your friends. And grace is greater than our circumstances, and God's grace will totally change our lives if we let it. If we let it. But some people miss out on grace. Complaining is a way that we miss out on grace. I think we could even say this. Ready? I think we could say that complaining is so offensive to God that he takes it so personally, but because at its core, complaining is blasphemous. I think complaining is actually blasphemy. When we complain, if you're someone who believes in God and you complain, what you're saying is, I don't believe that God is taking care of me. I don't believe that God is keeping his promises to me. Really, when you strip it down, complaining is a refusal to trust God and to acknowledge his grace and his gifts in my life. It's like whining is the opposite of worship. And complaining, I think what we could say is complaining is the enemy of grace. Complaining, when we complain, complaining is the enemy of grace. Now, I realize you might flinch at that. You might be like, I think you went too far. Like, maybe we could say complaining is like the opposite of thanksgiving, right? But I wouldn't say complaining is the opposite of grace. I would, and here's something interesting. In the Bible, grace and thanksgiving are very closely related. Actually, they're intertwined. So when you read the word thanksgiving in the New Testament of the Bible, it's written in Greek originally. We have it translated. And the Greek word that we have translated thanksgiving is the word eucharista. The word Eucharista is a combination of two words. You might think, yeah, thanks and giving thanks, right? Nope. Eucharista is a combination of the words good and grace. In the Bible, thanksgiving means good grace. The idea is that, and you can always be thankful because of God's good grace. We complain because of our circumstances, but complaining is the enemy of grace in your life. And grace is the answer because grace is greater than our circumstances. Grace is what can help stop us from complaining and to become thankful in all our circumstances. Because of grace, no matter what happens, I have a God who loves me, no matter what happens. And no matter where I am in life, I know God is right there with me. And I know where I'm going to go for my eternal life. And so I begin to realize that grace is greater. And that with grace, we're always able to give thanks because there's always things to be thankful for. There's a pastor named Ed Dobson. Ed Dobson contracted Lou Gehrig's disease. And he has a book called Seeing Through the Fog, in which he writes about his 12 years of life with ALS. ALS is a degenerative disease, and there's no known cause. There's no known cure. There's nothing you can do about it. In his book, he writes this: "There are many things for which I am not grateful. I can no longer button the buttons on my shirt. I can no longer put on a heavy jacket. I can no longer raise my right hand above my head. I can no longer write. I can no longer eat with my right hand. I eat with my left hand. And now even that is becoming a challenge. And over time, all these challenges will get worse and worse. So what in the world do I have to be grateful for? So much. Lord, thank you for waking me up this morning. Lord, thank you that I can turn over in my bed. Lord, thank you that I can still get out of bed. Lord, thank you that I can walk to the bathroom. Lord, thank you that I can still brush my teeth. Lord, thank you that I can still eat breakfast. Lord, thank you that I can still dress myself. Lord, thank you that I can still drive my car. Lord, thank you that I can still walk. Lord, thank you that I can still talk. And the list goes on and on. I have learned in my journey with ALS to focus on what I can do, not on what I can't do. I have learned to be grateful for the small things in my life and for the many things I can still do." And here is a guy who is on a debilitating, painful march to his death. His circumstances are a lot worse than mine. And every day he's looking for ways to be grateful. That's amazing. That's grace. And that brings me back to Marcus, the guy who made the unusual benevolence request to my friend's church that they would pay for the headstone and the inscription on it. My friend heard about this request, decided to meet with Marcus and hear his story, and so he met with him. Turns out Marcus woke up one morning jaundiced. He described himself as orange as a pumpkin. And he had been a heavy drinker earlier in life, so he assumed that he had developed cirrhosis of the liver, but he went to the doctor, and they diagnosed him with pancreatic cancer. They gave him a couple of days to live. Well, they immediately started chemo, which gave him a little more time than they expected. The cancer progression slowed down, and which is what allowed him to make the request of the church to pay for the headstone and the inscription. So my friend, when he met with him, he asked Marcus about being grateful in such difficult circumstances. And here's what he answered. It started slowly. I began being grateful for the little things like clothes, my next meal, those material things, you know, that we consider our daily bread. And I see things through different eyes. I see things in eternal light, how this life will have a profound effect on my next life, and how anticipation of the next life is having a profound effect on this life now that I have. And it's been truly amazing. My friend asked about the inscription that he wanted on his headstone, and Marcus said, "I want to forward a message on to any wayward passerby who perhaps come across my headstone and maybe identify with and who had the eyes to discern the message." And the simple line is, "Forgive me for the days I was not grateful." And in that one sentence, it states my problem. I was not grateful. And it also includes the solution, forgive me. And that's the message I want to pass on. Wow. It's like message received. And I'm so thankful that God forgives us when we aren't grateful. And I say, let's pray that God gives us the grace to recognize his grace and to be grateful when we wish things were different. And we can do that because grace is greater than our circumstances. So let's pray for that. Let's pray. God, I do not know the stories of a lot of the people in this room. I don't know what we're dealing with, what we're struggling with, the relationship struggles, the family issues, the health problems, the job uncertainties, the kids who might be rebelling or struggling. I don't know. I do know, God, that we all have things going on in our circumference and our circumstances that are not good. And you don't ask us to be thankful for those bad things, but you tell us that we can be thankful in those bad things, that even during those bad things, there's always something we can be grateful for. That's life-changing. You know, when we look for things to complain about, when we focus on the negatives, it just brings us down. It becomes contagious. But when we recognize grace, and that your grace allows us to be grateful no matter what's going on, and that changes our heart, it changes our perspective, it changes other people. And so, God, would you help us to recognize your grace? God, would you help us during this Thanksgiving week to put a 3x5 card in our pocket or to get out a journal and just to start writing down all the blessings. Maybe sit down this afternoon and write out as many as we think of. I bet you we can all come up with dozens. And then all week long, just to add to that list and realize, man, I am blessed. God, thank you for what I have, for what you've done in my life. And God, forgive me for the days I wasn't grateful. God, I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.